Good brothers and sisters, my name is Monsignor James Shea. I serve as president of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, and I'll be preaching the parish mission in preparation for the holy season of Lent. I'm very pleased to be here, grateful to your pastor, Father Brooks, for his invitation. And indeed, whenever you receive an invitation to come south in February in North Dakota, you really jump at that invitation. So I'm happy to be here today. We'll be talking during the parish mission and even this morning about the theme of mercy, of mercy. Pope Francis has given us a tremendous gift as Catholics by declaring this year a jubilee year of mercy, in which the mercy which we receive and give as Christians, as believers, would be intensified and would transform our lives and introduce into our hearts and into the church a new kind of tenderness. We see that mercy in the encounter between Jesus and Peter this morning in the Gospel. Peter, having experienced the power of Christ in the miraculous catch of fish, is overwhelmed by his own shortcomings, his smallness, his misery, and he falls to his knees, and he says to Jesus, "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Depart, get out of here, I am a sinful man." And Christ does not leave, but rather says, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Do not be afraid." This encounter between the sinner and grace, between Peter and Jesus, is instructive of the whole meaning of Christ's coming, which had been in preparation over the course of centuries and centuries. How do we get to this point where Peter, who is a poor Jewish fisherman, would recognize the Messiah, the Lord, in Jesus, who is not a great king of splendor, but is poor himself, an itinerant preacher and wonder worker? We have to go to get the answer all the way to the first pages of the Bible, where we see the patriarchs and how God reveals himself and his purpose to them. So we think of Abraham or Jacob or Joseph, all of whom in their own lives, like Peter and like all of us, had to endure particular trials and afflictions. But at the same time, all through their lives, the patriarchs were men of substance, with lands and cattle and rule, who died with honor, surrounded by large families. This was a way in which the human heart and mind in those early days could easily understand God's blessing and his favor through material prosperity and blessing. And we see something more in the early rulers of Israel. Think, for instance, of Samuel or David or Solomon, each of whom was given victory over their enemies or a peaceful kingdom with great power to rule, and along with it, the benefits of prosperity in this world. So it's interesting. The Lord reveals his intention to bless us, to bless his chosen people, to bless the world. And he reveals as well his intention to overthrow corruption and sin and the devil, to establish victory by means of signs in the lives of the patriarchs and the early kings that can be easily understood. But then he begins to instruct us in a different way. Our hearts are so weak. Our eyes, fallen as they are so dim, that he needed very cautiously and carefully to make a subtle shift, because he needed to prepare his people for the coming of a Messiah who would not look like a person of earthly prosperity, who would not look like a king mighty in power, but who would manifest blessing and victory by means of seeming defeat. The Christ when he would come would not triumph over others, but he would be triumphed over. He would not vanquish his enemies, but he would be destroyed by them in the crucifixion. And he would come as a suffering servant. So at a certain point in the scriptures, everything shifts and we get the prophets. And the prophets are different from those who came before. They are men of suffering and defeat. Think about Elijah, who was persecuted and chased out of Israel. Think about Isaiah, who wrote the first reading from today's Mass, who is said to have been martyred by being sawn in two. Think about Jeremiah, who was taken as a prisoner into Egypt and died there. Or think about the greatest man ever born of woman, according to Jesus, John the Baptist, who was imprisoned and beheaded in a shameful and pathetic series of events involving King Herod. These men spoke the truth, and yet they suffered for it. And when Jesus takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, remember, he asks them that immortal question, who do people say that I am? This question, by the way, stands at the center point of every human life. Who is Jesus for you, for me? Who is the Christ? And the apostles answer him and say, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. This is Jesus' true lineage. It is his real pedigree. Yes, he is the son of David. Yes, he would bring blessing and victory, but he would come as the prophets came before him, as a suffering servant, as one humble, sorrowful, and poor. And he comes in that way for a very specific reason. He comes in that way because God's heart was broken for humanity, and he wanted to bend very near to us in our sufferings, in our struggles, in our desperation, and in our sorrow. Christ came so far with the Father's face to reveal so that he could show mercy to those in misery. Mercy, at its essence, is divine love, the love of God poured out on human misery. And St. Peter in the Gospel today experiences it very deeply. He knows when he sees the miracle that he's not up for this, that he shouldn't be in the presence of a person like this. He knows his smallness, he knows his sinfulness, he knows his misery, and he's overwhelmed by it, and he falls down at Jesus' feet, and the Lord says to him, don't be afraid. He says that to us too. The year of mercy is a great gift because you need mercy, and so do I. We need mercy so much. I don't know you. I'm from the great white north. I don't understand half of what you say when you talk to me in your accent. But I bet if you and I sat down just for 5 minutes together, I would find out that there's something in your life which is broken and wrong. In every human life, in your life, there is some hidden shame, something which you have done which you wish you hadn't done. Something which you should have done, which you neglected and did not do. There's some grief. You miss someone who has died. There's some disappointment which is breaking your heart within you. There's some deep sorrow. Or maybe just the heaviness of life, the burden of living is so strong on you. And the stress and the demands upon your life, in your work or in raising your family, feel so great sometimes that you almost want to snap. This is human misery, and you feel it, and so do I. And Christ desires to come into the very center of that misery and pour out his love, his tenderness. He wants to meet us there, which is why he came into the world as a suffering servant. That's why he came as he did. So God revealed himself very slowly. Prosperity, blessing, victory, then the suffering servant. But there is something yet that's still hidden. G.K. Chesterton, the famous Catholic convert and apologist, said that when he used to open that strange book from which all of Christianity came, and when he would contemplate the figure who stands at the center of the Gospels, Jesus Christ, he noticed that Jesus is holding back on us. There's something that he's hiding. There's almost like a shyness in him, something which he holds close to his chest because it's so great that he wonders if we could take it, if he showed it to us. What is it? It's not his sadness. It's not his anger. It's not his courage. All of those you can find at various points in the gospel. Chesterton says that what the Lord was hiding from us was his joy. His joy. That Christ had come from the Father to give to the human heart, through mercy, the great gift of joy. Because when joy meets human misery, then you get mercy. When misery meets misery, you get more misery. You've heard that saying, misery loves company. It's terrible. Human beings, when they're broken and miserable, they look for others in misery so that we can wallow in it. But that's not an answer. That's not what the Lord intends for us. When misery meets misery, you get judgment, harshness, violence. But when joy meets misery, everything changes. And we come to know the great truth that life is hard, but it's also good. And in fact, it's more good than it's hard. And that our sorrows and our misery are nothing compared with the joy of God which he wishes us to encounter when he meets us along the way. When Jesus meets Simon Peter, he tells him not to be afraid because he's inviting him to share in his joy. And that's the quality of mercy. It's the meaning and the purpose of it. As Catholics, we have a great gift in that we have the opportunity to meet the Lord in a very real way in the Most Holy Eucharist. Every time we come here to Mass, the Lord comes to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Most Blessed Sacrament. And that encounter with the risen Lord, that encounter with the real Christ in the Eucharist, causes to happen for us what happened for Simon Peter. A real encounter in which we experience our own need and in which the Lord says, shh, don't be afraid. I'm here with you. My joy will be yours. Receive my mercy. Amen.